most important day in the Christian faith. It's the day that we gather to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. The resurrection is probably the most fantastic claim that Christians make about their faith. And some people would say that the resurrection is probably the biggest strain on Christianity's credibility. And Caitlin, I just segued right into the sermon, so I just don't want you to be confused back there. I'm so smooth with that, it's just amazing. So, but the idea of somebody being dead and then coming back to life, there are people that look at Christianity, and that is always the stumbling block. It's just impossible to believe. It's too far-fetched. And so for the message this morning, I want to talk about another problem that Christians have with the resurrection is not only did it actually happen or not, but there's a lot of people out there that wonder, what's the big deal? Does it even matter that the tomb is empty? Because it seems like the world's pretty much out of control and there's a lot of bad things happening. What's really changed? What does it mean for our existence? And people that are not followers of Jesus do not understand how an event that happened thousands of years ago has significance today in the 21st century. And they ask the questions, why do Christians make such a big deal about Jesus walking out of the tomb? What difference does it really have on my existence? And we talk about the resurrection because the resurrection actually resonates with the human condition. And I say that because I don't think most human beings realize it, but the resurrection speaks to our needs probably more than any event that's ever happened in the past. And I say that because when you read the Bible, the early Christians were convinced of this. The early Jesus followers knew not only that the resurrection had taken place, but that Jesus rising from the dead was this event of just enormous significance. I mean, it changed their lives. It changed their reason for living. The resurrection was one of the reasons that the early Christians were willing to die for their own faith. And so central was the resurrection to their message that Luke, in the book of Acts, talks about Peter and John preaching Jesus and the resurrection. The resurrection is the main theme and really, you could say, the heart of pretty much everything that Paul wrote. It was the heart of his preaching. And when Paul summarized his message in 1 Corinthians 15:3, he wrote, "I passed on to you as of the first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and then on the third day he rose again, and then he was seen." The resurrection of Jesus is the core of the good news. So this morning I want to talk about why Paul's mindset should be our mindset. Why is the resurrection the key to it all? Why does the empty tomb mean just as much today in 2019 in Ohio as it did when it first happened? Now, before we get into the why of the resurrection, I think it's kind of important for us to be clear on what we're talking about when we say resurrection. So I kind of want to give us a definition this morning. First of all, though, when we say resurrection, we're not talking about Jesus' teachings or Jesus' ways still being taught today. Let me give you an example of what I mean. In Latin America and also in this country, there are many people that have a passion for Che Guevara. And they believe that his philosophies, his teachings still live on today. And if you were to attend some socialist rallies, which I don't really see anybody in here doing, but people have chanted, "She lives." And the reason is, the resurrection, that is not like this. It's not about just the survival of somebody's teachings. The resurrection of Jesus is not Jesus' resuscitation. Jesus wasn't brought back to life again so he could die again. Jesus is not like Lazarus. Lazarus was resuscitated by Jesus. He was brought back to this life, but Lazarus had to do his dying all over again. That's not Jesus' case. We are talking about a resurrection. And you see, Christianity believes that God performed a dramatic act where he stopped the process of decay and decomposition and corruption. In the resurrection, God stopped death. We believe that God defeated death. We believe that God rescued Jesus out of the realm of death. In the resurrection, God transformed Jesus' body into a new vehicle, so Jesus is now immortal. And we believe that when Jesus is resurrected, he's never going to die again. That is something new. That was something that had never happened before. And as Christians, the promise is that if we know Jesus as our Savior, we believe this very thing is going to happen to us. So that's what we're talking about when we use the word resurrection. So with that being said, I want to move forward, and I want to give us three reasons that the resurrection means the same today in 2019 that it did when it first happened. And I want to just talk about the relevance of the resurrection. First off, number one, the resurrection assures us of God's forgiveness. The resurrection assures us of God's forgiveness. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 in a moment. Forgiveness really is one of God's best gifts. When I was in seminary and I had to study basic counseling, and one of the readings that I had to do, there was a psychiatrist that was quoted as saying, I could dismiss half my patients tomorrow if they could be assured of their forgiveness. Everybody has skeletons in the closet. Everybody does. All of us have things that we've done. We have things that we have said. We have things that we've thought. We've all got stuff that we're ashamed of. And our conscience nags us sometimes. Sometimes our conscience will torment us. It condemns us. Mark Twain said this, and I quote, this is a typical Mark Twain saying, man is the only animal that blushes and the only animal that needs to, end quote. All of us are ashamed of things that we've done. Nobody is free in this life who is unforgiven. And instead of being able to look God in the face or to look one another in the face, we just kind of want to run away. Our conscience won't give us a break. And the story of Easter, the story of resurrection, begins with the assurance of God's forgiveness. Several times during his public ministry, Jesus said to people, your sins are forgiven. In the upper room, Jesus referred to the cup as his blood, which was shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. See, Jesus linked forgiveness with his death. Jesus linked forgiveness with his death. Jesus taught that he's going to die, bearing our sin and guilt and condemnation. He taught that he was going to bury that in his own innocent person. And Jesus taught that so we could be forgiven. Now, this all sounds wonderful, and I think that everybody believes it, but how do we know Jesus was right? Jesus says that he's going to die for our forgiveness, but how do we know that Jesus is actually telling the truth, and how can we know whether God really accepted Jesus' death as what we call that full and perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world? Well, the truth of God's forgiveness is found in the resurrection. We would not know by Jesus' death alone that we've received forgiveness if Jesus remained dead. If Jesus was never raised from the dead, we wouldn't really know if his death had been effective or not. And see, the reality is, in our humanness, we would probably be convinced that Jesus' death was just a failure when it comes to our forgiveness, if we didn't have the resurrection along with it. And I say all this because without the empty tomb, Jesus' death on the cross, it just doesn't accomplish that much. It doesn't have the impact, because basically what's happened is somebody else died for somebody else. And that kind of thing happens. And see, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15:14, because he says, if Christ was not raised from the dead, our faith is futile. If Christ was not raised from the dead, our faith is futile. We are still in our sins. We are unforgiven. And those who have died have perished. See, by resurrecting Jesus, God shows us that he approves of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus' death is the foundation on which God is able to forgive all of our sins and give us new life. But see, the resurrection then validates the atoning death of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus assures us of God's forgiveness in the here and now. It assures us of God's forgiveness today. Now, the second reason the resurrection has meaning today, number two, is the resurrection assures us of God's power. The resurrection assures us of God's power. We'll look at Ephesians 1 shortly. I think that everybody in here would agree that forgiveness is a great thing. We all want to be forgiven of the wrong that we've done. I think that we would all agree that forgiveness brings us hope, it brings us healing. Forgiveness is great, but I think to get through life in 2019, we need more than just forgiveness for our past. We need to be born again. We need to be a new creation. And I say this because there's lots of stuff that I need forgiveness from, too much to tally. But at the same time, I don't want to keep on making the same mistakes. I don't want to be the same person. I want to change the parts of me that aren't the greatest. And you see, I believe that God can forgive me, but do I believe that God can change me? Can God change human nature? Maybe more specifically, can God change my nature? Is it possible for selfish people to be made unselfish? Is it possible for immoral people to be given some self-control? Is it possible for somebody who's kind of cruel to be made kind? Is it possible for the sour person to maybe be sweetened up a little bit? Wouldn't it be marvelous if that kind of life change were possible? And Christians believe that thanks to the resurrection, we know that that kind of personal change from God in our lives is possible. God has the power to change human nature and to change human beings. God has the power to change human nature and to change human beings. God has the power to transform you and me into the image of Jesus Christ. We believe that God has the power to make us like Jesus. God has the power to make alive people who are dead to spiritual reality. We believe that God has that kind of power. The reality that there is a God out there and we can have a personal relationship with Him. Now, spiritual reality, the reality of something beyond the material world, and that something is impacting the material world, that's a concept that sadly just has no meaning to some people. There are a lot of people out there that are just dead to the reality of God. And we believe that God has the power to awaken us to the reality of Him. And we know that it's possible for God to awaken us to that spiritual reality because of the resurrection. And this is why Paul says in the very beginning of Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, he says, "The eyes of our heart, our inward eyes, may be opened in order that we may see the incomparable greatness of God's power toward us who believe. The power that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." We believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof of the power of God. We believe the same resurrection power which God displayed in Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the dead, that same power we believe is available to us today. We believe that it is available in 2019 in our reality. We believe that God can raise us from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. God can raise us from the death of alienation into a life of close, personal communion with God. We believe that can be a reality in our existence. We have the relationship we have with God because of God's power. It's not because of anything we do, it's all because of God's power. And God's power in our lives, God's power in the here and now, that's something that we don't want to minimize. And we don't want to minimize it because when we minimize God's power, we kind of forget what God, by His resurrection power, is able to do in human beings like you and me, and for us to have the impact that we can have for Him. Americans love the friendly neighbor known the world over as Mr. Rogers. How many people miss Mr. Rogers? I wish Mr. Rogers was still alive. Loved the show when I was a kid. People also love sharing myths about Mr. Rogers, about Fred Rogers. One was about how the reason that he wore the cardigans was to cover up all of his tattoos. That's false. Some people try to say the one that Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister. That is not a myth. That is true. Fred Rogers graduated from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in 1963. And Fred Rogers' relationship with God, and really I think that God's power in his life is more foundational to Fred Rogers' legacy than people realize. Mr. Rogers was a man defined by his Christian faith. And the message that he taught every day on his beloved children's show was shaped because of his faith. Mr. Rogers said over and over again, "You've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you. And I like you just the way you are." And Fred Rogers was interviewed for a documentary, and it was done in 2003, called America's Favorite Neighbor. And he said this, and I quote, he said, "I think everybody longs to be loved. Everybody longs to know that he or she is lovable." Mr. Rogers' theological messages could be traced to the biblical notion of neighbor and to Jesus' parable about the Good Samaritan. Jesus' point that the Samaritan and the Jewish man were neighbors in a spiritual sense, if not a physical one, feels right at home in all that Mr. Rogers' neighborhood did. Where Mr. Rogers greeted you and I with a daily "Hi, neighbor," as if the whole world lived in the same close-knit community. Fred Rogers said in a 2001 commencement address at Middlebury College, and I quote, "When we look for what's best in the person that we happen to be with at any given moment, we are doing what God does. And so in appreciating our neighbor, we are participating in something truly sacred," end quote. May sound old-fashioned, but Mr. Rogers' theology was pretty radical in 1962 when the TV show started on Pittsburgh Public Television. And really the message of it is still very radical today. I think that's one of the reasons why the show hung around as long as it did. I think that's why it resonated with people, and I think that's why it's still necessary today in 2019. Now, I share this story about Mr. Rogers, number one, because I love Mr. Rogers, but number two, I've heard people talk about the faith. I've heard people talk about becoming a follower of Jesus. I've heard people talk about being born again. But sometimes when they talk about it, it's not very radical. When they talk about it, they talk about it in such a way that it kind of sounds like, you know, I've made a life change that I've essentially just kind of turned over a new leaf. Being born again and experiencing the resurrection power was really nothing more than kind of a New Year's resolution. People talk about becoming a Christian, and it sounds like all that really happened is they became a little more religious. Being born again sounds like all that happened to you is you made a few superficial changes to kind of your usual life patterns. And the reason I bring all this up is when we talk about God's power is much more than that. Becoming a follower of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus Christ, being born again is radical. And radical is the right word, because radical means that somebody, something went into the roots of who we are, and that power is making significant changes. Becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Jesus means that we've experienced the resurrection from spiritual death to new life. And all of this happens because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same all-powerful God who made a dead man alive again, who raised him from physical death, that same God can raise us to spiritual life from spiritual death. God's power will make us alive and alert to spiritual things. And we know that God can raise us in this capacity and that God can change us in this capacity because he raised Jesus. God has the power to change us because he changed Christ, because the tomb is empty. Now, the third reason the resurrection is relevant today, number three, is the resurrection assures us of God's ultimate triumph. One of the biggest differences between the different religions of the world and the different philosophies of the world concerns their vision of the future. Because when you examine different philosophies and different faiths, a question that you're always confronted with is, well, yeah, is there, you know, you talk about reincarnation hitting nirvana or whatever it is, but is there any future? Do we have any hope for the future? And sadly, in 2019, when people talk about the future, there's some people that don't really have a whole lot of hope for the future. The future is just kind of this bleak event. They don't have any hope for themselves. They have no hope for anybody else. The future basically consists of a lot of existential pessimism or despair. On the screen is a picture of a guy named Bertrand Russell. You can tell he's a looker. He lived from 1872, passed away in 1970. Bertrand Russell was a British philosopher. He's a big-time political activist. And in the early 20th century, Russell led the British revolt against idealism. Right there ought to tell you his mindset. Now, Bertrand Russell is considered one of the founders of analytic philosophy. And this guy, Bertrand Russell, highly intelligent, brilliant guy, has forgot more stuff than I'll ever remember that's important. But Bertrand Russell was not a very hopeful guy. And he was been interviewed many times. And towards the end of his life, I think this interview happened in 1968, he was asked about his belief in God and his faith in the things of God. And Bertrand Russell said this, and I quote, he said, "When I die, I believe that I shall rot, and that is the end. All the labors of the ages, the inspiration, the noonday brightness of human genius are destined to extinction. The whole temple of man's achievement must inevitably be buried in the debris of a universe in ruins," end quote. In other words, in Bertrand Russell's way of thinking, there was nothing in the future to look forward to. George Lucas, sadly, is another person who just doesn't have a lot of hope for the future. Now, I will tell you right now, I love George Lucas films. I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. But George Lucas is a man who is terrified of death. He said in an interview a few years ago, and I quote, "The fundamental thing behind all motivation, behind all activity, is the constant struggle against annihilation and against death. Death is absolutely stupefying in its terror, and it renders our accomplishments meaningless," end quote. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a lot of hope for the future. There's just nothing to look forward to. People think of history not as this line that's going to end in a climax, but maybe history is a circle. Life is not about anything new. Life is about everything just being repeated continuously in an endless cycle of reincarnations, and people think there's no escape but extinction. This is not the mindset of followers of Christ. Followers of Jesus believe, and we are confident, that Jesus is going to come back at the end of history. We believe that Jesus is going to return, and he's not going to return in humility and weakness, but Jesus is going to return in power and in magnificence. That's what followers of Jesus think when we think of the future. And we not only believe that Jesus is going to return, but we believe that Jesus is actually making this life, our life, in the right here and now. We believe that Christ makes it worth living. We believe that Jesus brings us his triumph in our here and now. John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full," or to have it more abundantly. In John 10:10, Jesus talks about the thief coming to kill and to destroy. Jesus is saying, I'm not like that. Jesus is not the thief. Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. And the reason I bring this up is how many of us feel like life can be a thief? Anybody feel that way other than me sometimes? Seems like our lives, we just don't have enough time. Or we can't seem to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Or we can't seem to accomplish what we want to accomplish. and life seems full of these obstacles that just steal things from us. And Jesus is basically saying, I came to move those obstacles. Jesus says, I can help you get around the obstacles. Jesus says, I've come to carry you forward with a purpose in your life. And Jesus says that, yeah, your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. There's a point to all of it when we're in a relationship with Jesus. And we can triumph in this life if we know Jesus. And the empty tomb is proof of the triumph. We can triumph in this life if we know Jesus. And the empty tomb is proof of it. Now, some people would hear me say this, and their response would say, gee, you Christians, you have a lot of wishful thinking, don't you? Isn't that you Christians just, you know, saying what you usually say to get your spirits up? It's just another one of those pep talks. Is there any evidence for this? Well, there is evidence, and the evidence is the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection is a true historic event. People saw it happen. People saw an empty tomb. Thousands of people saw a guy that was dead and then saw him alive again. And we gather very early this Easter morning because the tomb is empty. We come here with this particular family of God to celebrate and to remember that the tomb is empty. And we're here this morning because the resurrection means that we have God's forgiveness through Christ if we've put our trust in him. It means that we have God's power that we can call upon in our lives at any time to give us strength and to give us hope. The resurrection means that God wins, that the ultimate triumph belongs to God. Amen. What do you want to sing, Jesus?